thank the Lord. The more I'm with him, the longer I'm with him, the more I know that I can't do without him. And I'm just a wreck with some days, y'all, without just knowing who he is, it just wrecks me. Just knowing who he is. So the sermon message he gave me the other day is titled Supernatural Love. What it entails in Christ Jesus. And that's what this sermon is about. And by that, before I even start, just let me gather myself and let me go to the Lord. My mind's on something. Father, I, as always, ask you to be with me. I ask you, Lord, to take over and do what you do. Let your word go out and not return void. Let it land where it needs to land, Lord, and take root in people's hearts, Lord, and that it may change our lives for the better, for the kingdom of God. We thank you and honor you in Jesus' name. All right. Now, as I was saying, the sermon that he gave me is about supernatural love and what it entails in Christ Jesus. And by that, I mean, we want to shine a light on the reality of the supernatural love of God. But in order to do this, we need to look at the concept of love in general. We all know a thing or two about love. But we need to look at love in general as it is understood and considered to be in the world or in the natural scheme of things, in the natural perspective, the natural order of things, love in general. So to simplify things, we can place this phenomenon of love into two categories. We can look at conditional love and unconditional love. Now, conditional love is just what it implies. It's just what it implies. It's love that comes with conditions attached to it. Okay? And that just simply means that certain conditions must be met for the love to flourish. Certain conditions are in place. When we have conditional love, we love because of a certain reason or certain reasons, okay? So the love comes with conditions. When we love conditionally, we love from an emotional point of view. And sometimes from even an ego-driven standpoint, we like what we like, and when we see it, we go for it, and we may come to love it. Our focus is on this type of love. It can be on a romantic partner, the object of our love. It can be a spouse. It can be a child. It can be a good friend. We love certain people. It's easy for us to look at these people and love them. You know why? Because they hold similar categories in our lives. See? Sometimes we don't even realize it, that we love people unconditionally. We say we love you, or we love this and we love that. But in it is a condition. There's a reason. And we say this without reservation because these people connect with our emotional makeup and our emotional mindset. We like something. Their look gets our approval. The way they smile, the way they behave, it gets our approval. So we wind up loving what we like. They behave in ways that fit our expectations. You say, girl, I done met Mr. Wright. What's so good about him? It's just the way he talk, the way he walk. In the car he drives, he got the good job. You know, things are falling into place and that love starts to flourish, okay? Now, we can also extend this conditional love to things and places. Some people love places. Their favorite restaurant, favorite vacation spot, Bermuda, Hawaii, for a reason, okay? We love certain things. Watch this. Watch this one. How many of you ladies, I'm not picking on ladies, I'm just using an example, y'all. As soon as something coming to my head about men, I'll say it too. But how many of you ladies see another woman and she's got on a pair of shoes, maybe it's a friend, and you say, "Ooh, girl, I love those shoes." Okay, see, I got some honest people. I can see hands going up. All right, praise God. You love those. I love that purse. Ooh, I love those pumps. Right? They looking good. They look good to you, right? Now, never mind that you don't own the shoes. You never put your foot in them. You ain't never touched them, but you saw them and you love them, right? Never mind. Never mind that you never even tried the pair of shoes on, but you love them. I've been with Pastor Annalise, and she sees some shoes, and she said, "Oh, those are me. That's me right there." But boy, when she put them shoes on, the love go right out the window. Because something we didn't bargain for, right? You see those shoes, the same shoes, but when you slip your foot into them, I ain't talking about nobody. But when you put your foot in that shoe, it's a little narrower than you thought maybe, and it's a size D width, and your feet are just, they are every bit of triple E. Extra, extra, extra. Just like the newspaper boys used to say, extra, extra, read all about it. You wear all of a triple E, but you're trying to get that width in that shoe. So you scrunch it on down, and you walk around the store, and you got one shoe on, and you're looking in the mirror, and you love that shoe. Sometimes you even buy it. Just put you some shoe stretchers and take it home. Soak it in water and put it out with the shoe stretcher in it, pray over it. Then when you get bold, if you're going somewhere, just hop out the car for 5 minutes, you wear that shoe, and it still hurts. Finally, what happens? You lay it to rest, don't you? The love. What happened to the love? Temptation had a song, and he'd say, "Your love is fading." You can feel that love fading, right? Fading away from here. That's how it is. Love is like that. Now, I looked at the shoe situation and I said, that makes sense to me. That's conditional love. That's love with conditions. That same thing we do with people. That same situation, we conditional love is like that. It's contingent upon the object of your love lining with up with your preconceived notion. You saw them pumps. You saw them shoes. You could just see them. You could just see your outfit and the shoes, and you know, you raise you up and put you on a tilt, you know. Can I tell y'all a story? When I was in Korea, I was very young. I was 19 years old. I ain't talking about Korea, but when in Korea, there were certain women that made a living on the street. And now, Korea wasn't as developed as America is. When they see Americans and they work the streets, they wore these heels, real, real high heels. And that was one, and you could tell this poor lady didn't know. She just wasn't averse to these shoes. And all the soldiers called her the creeper because the way she walked with them shoes, heels and rocks, because the pavement wasn't paved like it. You had rocks and holes, and she, Brother Ron laughing because he was in Korea too. And we used to say, "There go the creeper," and she'd be walking in them shoes. Just, and you just want to say, "Girl, take the shoes off and just use your feet. Wear the boxes, leave the shoes, just tie the box on your foot." But that's how it is when we want something so badly to line up with our expectations, but sooner or later, the love leaves. And that's how it is. Whether it's your spouse, whether that love is focused on your girlfriend, Sally, beautiful Sally, and she treats you like a king, or whether it's those shoes you first saw, it's still conditional love. I call it ALA love, as long as. That type of love will work as long as things line up the way we want it to line up. Long as something meets your expectations, then you love it. Just like those shoes. As long as they don't hurt your feet. As long as people don't hurt your feelings. Huh? As long as they don't hurt us physically or mentally. Worldly or conditional love or natural love is volatile. It's volatile. It's just like the San Andreas Fault. You don't know when an eruption will occur. I've seen people who claim they love one another, and things like money caused an eruption in the love. I've seen people who had jobs and the man had a job. As soon as the woman got a job, the friction started. Then when she started making more than him, the love was gone. See, she went from here to here and it was getting bad. And when she passed him up on the financial ladder and she became the breadwinner, like Donnie Hathaway, where's the love? That's what he was asking. That's what she was asking. Where's the love? I wasn't a pastor then. It used to come to me and say, Joe, would you talk to him? Is something wrong? And what was wrong was that his expectations changed. His ego was hurt. Remember I said it can be ego driven. This is what natural love is. It's like the stock market. Things look good, but you never know when there's going to be a collapse when you have natural love. Right? It crashes. Some people, their looks change. Oh, no. You better do something about yourself. You better. When I met you, you were like, now you, you know. Boy, if that love ain't rooted. No. We get older. We get settled. Who is that? The Captain and Tennille, and they said, love will keep us together. And then they said, and they're not together either, by the way. They're no longer. The Captain and Tennille broke up. You know we need God. If they broke up, the man with the little sailor hat on played the piano. And she said, one day your looks are going to fade. I don't know if that's what happened, but something happened. They're no longer together. This is what conditional love is. And we need to look at this thing. We need to look at it. You know me, in Spirit of True Church Worldwide, we sing songs that glorify the Lord, but some secular songs sing about love gone astray. You know why? Because when you're in a secular world, that's what you see. That's exactly what you see. You remember that group called the Shirelles? And they had a song. Oh, now it's going out of my head. Maybe I shouldn't say what it is. I can't remember what it is. Okay. Anyway. Will you still love me tomorrow? You remember that song? I forgot how it go. You know the song, right? Will you still love me tomorrow? Anyway, it was a song about that conditional love. And the words of that song were interesting because it said, you give your love so sweetly, tonight something. Then it said, but will you still love me tomorrow? That was the question, but will you still love me tomorrow? That's how it is with conditional love. You get hooked up with people, you think you know them, something happens. Huh? Right? Sometimes somebody will leave you because they don't like the folks you're running with. To be with me, you got to leave your friend. You got to leave your family. The love fades. Mm-hmm. Conditions. And the reason we need to look at this is because God shines a light on things. The Lord Jesus shines a light on things. I'm going to say this and I'm going to get off of it. But that old Temptations song that's talking about your love is fading, I can feel your love fading. In one part of the song, it says, It's as if someone else controls your very soul. Remember that? That phrase? Who's controlling your soul when it comes to conditional love? If we're loving in the world, who is the father of lies? Who is the prince of the air and the atmosphere? See, if we're loving in the flesh and we're loving in the natural and it's conditional love, there is somebody controlling your very soul. If it's not unconditional love, it's conditional love. And we're loving according to conditions. If the price is right, if the feeling is right, you know. Even the old righteous brothers, they said you lost that love and feeling. They were righteous and they were singing about an unrighteous love. Huh. Righteous brothers, but an unrighteous love. Because it's gone, gone, gone. Whoa. That's how it is, right? That's how it is. So I brought those things up to you to let you know that that's what conditional love is. Now we're going to flip over and look at unconditional love. By now, after hearing all that, we ought to be clapping. We ought to be praising God, saying, thank you, Lord, for unconditional love. Because, you know, sometimes you don't even know you're in the fishbowl until you get out. You ever been through a fog and you come out and you say, whoa, now I really can see clear. I can see the lane markers now. That's how it is if you've ever been trapped in something like a bad relationship. I mean, you've been doing your best to get it right. And that person still is disrespecting you and everything else. Or you've loved something and then you realize that you were going down the wrong way, like those old bad shoes. And you get your feet out of them. And you see somebody else that's been wearing them for years. But now their arches are all falling. They've got bunions. Their feet look like rutabagas and things like that. You said, thank you, Lord. For getting my foot out of that situation. You know, just like guts. Feet just. Toes won't even touch. Praise God. Unconditional love, then, is also known as agape love. And this type of love is a supernatural love. Unconditional. God's love is unconditional. Yes, yes. God's love is unconditional, right? It doesn't come with conditions, right? Right? Now, in order to describe it or give an example of unconditional supernatural love, we're going to go to the Bible. We're going to go to 1 Corinthians 13. You've heard some of it. Those of you who may have come in a little bit late, you'll get to hear it. I want to ask Pastor Annalisa to take us to 1 Corinthians 13. I love me some Pastor Annalisa. She's always smiling. Even when she's angry, you better watch her. She smiles through everything. Praise God. 13 verses. Can you just read verses 1 through 8, please? And you can just read the first part of 8.
1 Corinthians 13, 1 through 8, 8. Mm-hmm. Says, though I speak with the tongues of men and of angels, but have not love, I have become a sounding brass or a clinging cymbal. And though I have the gift of prophecy and understand all mysteries and all knowledge, and though I have all faith so that I could remove mountains, but have not love, I am nothing. And though I bestow all my goods to feed the poor, and though I give my body to be burned, but have not love, it profits me nothing. Mm. Love suffers long and is kind. Love does not envy. Love does not parade itself. It is not puffed up, does not behave rudely, does not seek its own, is not provoked, thinks no evil, does not rejoice in iniquity, but rejoices in the truth, bears all things, believes all things, hopes all things, endures all things. Love never fails.
Amen. But, keep going.
But whether there are prophecies, they will fail. Whether there are tongues, they will cease. Whether there is knowledge, it will vanish away.
Amen. That's good for now. That's good for now. Thank you, Pastor. All right. This is some very powerful and enlightening information that we just heard. This love, would you say it's conditional or unconditional? You're right. Okay, I'm just checking to see if y'all here. It's not question and answer, but I just wanted to put that out because you're absolutely right. This is not a natural love. See? If we go back over this love and we look at it and we say, who they talking about? Love suffers long and is kind. Love, we can just stop right there. Love suffers long and is kind. Somebody misuse you right now. You go out that door and somebody just come up to you and just push you the wrong way. Push the wrong button. Thank you, Pastor. Somebody pushed the wrong button in your life. You'll go from 0 to 100 miles an hour in a split second. Your level resolve will diminish very quickly if somebody pushed you the wrong way. But it's saying right here in the word that, look here, love suffers long and is kind. I'm telling you, this kind of love is God's type of love. This is really what true love is about. The things that are described in this Bible are describing the love of God. That's what this is. This is a very powerful scripture right here. Because this is something that you're not born with. See? In a perfect world, in the image of God, yes, but once the fall, once Adam and Eve sinned, that was it. This kind of love was a thing of the past. We got to get back to this love. This is a learned love. This is a love that you have to practice. And you know what? You can't do it on your own. We can't even do it on our own. When we look at this right off the bat, and this is Paul talking right off the bat, he tells his people that whatever gifts we may possess, they're insignificant, they're meaningless if we don't have God's love. You can be the best singer, the best orator, you can be the best planner, you can be the best mathematician, you can be the best dancer, you can be the best choir director, you can be the best whatever it is. You don't have love, the Bible says it means nothing. That's deep. That's heavy. That's something. It's meaningless if we don't have love. Paul mentions that even if you have the gift of prophecy, let's stop right there. Prophecy, you can tell people what's going to go on in the future. The Lord can give you a word and you can give it to the other word. You can tell somebody, don't go on that trip. That plane's about to fall. I saw it. The Lord told me. You can have all that and you don't have love. God may not even be able to use you. Oh, that's deep. That to me, we work for the Lord. We want to be in God's presence. But his Bible, his word is saying, whether there are prophecies, whether you understand all mysteries and all, you have all knowledge, you just a wise old soul. But you just don't love nobody. At least not the way God wants us to love. You can have all faith, says, so that you can remove mountains. But if you don't have love, it means nothing. Now, does that, let me stop. I don't want y'all to get depressed. With all that, does that mean that without love, you're just a born loser? No. I wouldn't term it like that. But what I will say is that it means that without encompassing or being endowed with that supernatural love of God, we can never be all that God has created us to be. Is that fair? We can never be all that God has created us to be, and you may not receive all the gifts and the rewards that God has for you in heaven. We got to get to that love thing. We got to get to that. So that's what this scripture talks about. Without having the supernatural love of God flowing in us, we can never be the vessels that God wants us to be. He can do some things in you now. We all know Romans 8:28, all things work together for good to those who love God, not the called according to his purpose. But that love is still in there. How much do you love God? How much do we love God? Do we love God enough to lay it all down for him? Or do we just give him, are we just part-time lovers? Are we just, we have a part-time love? Or is it a full-time, no holes barred, straight down the middle, Lord, I can't do without you type of love? Some of us are so self-reliant on ourselves that it's hard to get to loving God like he wants us to. And if we don't love God how he wants us to, how can we love other people like he wants us to? These are just questions that are coming in my head as I'm going here, y'all. So we want to be all that God calls us to be. But you have to know that this love that the Bible is speaking of is not worldly, is not ordinary, conditional love. No, it's supernatural love. How do you know it's supernatural love? Just read verses 4 through 7. Pastor, read those again, just 4 through 7. Listen to this. This is how you know it's supernatural love. Listen to this.
4 through 7 says, love suffers long and is kind. It is kind. Mm-hmm. Love does not envy. Love does not parade itself, mm-hmm. is not puffed up, mm-hmm. does not behave rudely.
Stop right there. Somebody say something to you rudely. Some of y'all so quick-witted, before it come out that person's mouth, you're going to shoot them down with something else. You know that. We got some, we, you know. But this says love does not behave rudely. Go ahead, Pastor.
Does not seek its own, is mm-hmm. not provoked, mm-hmm. provoked. Mm-hmm.
Doesn't seek its own. It's not about you. We should be seeking the things of God, but do we always? Oh, no. Go ahead, Pastor.
Thinks no evil.
Uh-huh.
Does not rejoice in iniquity, but rejoices in the truth.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm.
Bears some things,
mm-mm. All
bears
things.
All things, believes all things, hopes all things, endures some things, all things.
Amen. And if you look at that and you say, wait a minute, it's telling me to believe all things. I don't believe everything somebody tell me. Why, the Bible said believe all things. I ain't supposed to believe all things. It said don't trust no man. Trust God and God in me. I can't believe all things. No. No, it means that you believe all things in Christ, all things according to God's standards. That's what it means, okay? So you can't get off the hook that easy. This Bible, when these words were penned, they were penned with the inspiration of the Holy Spirit, so he knows exactly. Sometimes you look at it and you think you know what it's talking about, but you got to go deeper. And that's why we're on Wednesday nights, we're doing what we're doing. But... So we see that all these things that these scriptures are talking about, especially from 4 to 7 to 8, love never fails. That means that supernatural love never fails. God's love is perfect love, right? So we have to see that this is what it's talking about. Love suffers long, it's kind, and everything else. Some of you may be saying to yourself, wait a minute now, I wait in line at the grocery store, or I pick up my child at school, and sometimes the cars are backed up. I'm patient. I'm long-suffering. I sit there, and I wait, you know, and so I'm okay. I'm okay with that, you know. I wait every 2 weeks for my paycheck, and I don't make a whole bunch of noise. Come on, y'all. Come on. That's not the entire scope concerning long-suffering and patience, okay? I understand that you're waiting. But in this text is speaking of what it's saying is that we need to be patient and slow to anger even when we're being abused or afflicted or mistreated. That's the test. Not when you're waiting on little Jimmy to come out of school and you just because the ice cream cone you got is melting and you're being patient and you're waiting. No, that's easy. How about when somebody is afflicting you? How about when somebody is mistreating you? Call you out your name. Like the thing that happened to me in college when I was walking down the street and the truck came over to me and all I heard was the N-word repeatedly like a shotgun. They was talking so fast, I don't know how they could get that many N's out of their mouth at the same time. It was like I was being hit. That was terrible because I didn't know the Lord. Truck full of people ran up on me for no reason. Started calling me the N-word. I was 22. Best condition of my life at the time. Coming home to my wife with grocery in Des Moines, Iowa. And they thought the truck was going to hit me, and they just came at me, and they were laughing and had the windows down. And I was shocked, and I was appalled, and I was upset. The worst thing was I didn't know the Lord, so they paid for it. Because guess what? The truck went down the block and kept sped off and burned rubber. But although they were racist, they were also law-abiding because they stopped at the red light. And when they stopped at the red light about 50 to 100 yards down, I quickly deduced in my mind, if I run about a 10 flat 100-yard dash, and that's about 60 yards down, I wonder if I can get there before the light changes. Knowing that the light takes about 10 seconds, this is less than 10 seconds, before I knew it, I dropped that bag, and I was running. And I was running because it was in the middle of football training camp. I was in excellent condition. So I was a little lean. And I got to the truck. And I said, it was as if somebody was egging me on and said, come on, Joel, you can do it. The light hasn't changed. It's still red. And when I got to the truck, they were just having a good time. They were talking and drinking. And I was three of them sitting across the front. And I came up to the truck and the window was down. The passenger window was down. Oh, thank you. Thank you. I didn't know the Lord, but thank you. And I went and I landed on the windshield. And I said, remember me? And you should have seen their eyes popped. And before they could ask, you don't have to. The right hand was coming through the window as I grabbed his hand. It was like, for every N-word. Head was shaking. You think they went across that red light? Not yet. You see how the devil will do you? Hey, you do something crazy, you already broken God's law. You may as well break man's law. Run the light! No, they just sat there. And they wanted to go in the driver. Oh, no. Red light. He didn't know what to do, but I did. Finally, the one in the middle said, run the light, man, run the light. Then they ran the light. And I stood there by myself, sweating, completely satisfied. And I straightened myself up. I took my old busted hand and I said, didn't even hurt. I walked back and I picked up my grocery, picked up my items, and I went home. I don't even think I told Pastor Annalisa about that. I didn't tell her that for years. I wasn't going to tell her what happened because I didn't know then about conditional love. She might have left me. But I say that to say this. That was wrong, and I repented of that. But I bring up the story because that's what happens if we don't have God's love in us. If we don't have God's love in us, we're going to respond. You're going to respond the way you respond. And other people were, that was the way I was trained. That was the way I would respond. But that's the test. That's the test. You know, we we get tested. Long suffering means just that. It can be, can you be patient when you're mistreated? And if so, how long can you be patient? How long can you hold on and can you hold out like God wants you to? Now, Pastor Annalisa doesn't know this, but the Lord gave me something for her. See, Pastor Annalisa wound up in a situation like that just the other day. I'm going to tell about it, if that's all right. I told you she's always smiling. Mm-hmm. I'll let her tell it if she wants to, if she wants a microphone, if she got a microphone in front of her. But maybe I better tell her. I don't want you to get riled up. Sweet little Pastor Annalisa the other day went to get her eyebrows done. You know, whatever. I don't even know what that means, ladies. Does that mean shaping them or trimming them or both? Both? Okay. I come from a family of haircutters, and we use clippers. And whenever she wants to get her eyebrows done, I say, I can do that. Let me get the clippers. She said, I'll never let you touch my eyebrows. So she goes somewhere else to get them done. I simply just drop her off. So I dropped her off that day to get her eyebrows done. And when she called me to pick her up, she said, she had this look on her face, and she said, the lady I went to was so mean. And I said, mean? Somebody mean to Smiley? That, you know, that person's not right. So I was wondering, I said, what do you mean she was mean to you? She said, well, this is the lady I go to all the time, and she's always nice. She said, we even ate together. She fed me food the last time I came to get my hair. So, you know, Pastor Annalisa loved this lady. This time, now the last time Pastor Annalisa got her eyebrows done, you know, we've been together since we were 14. So as she comes out, I always give her the once over when she gets in the car. Just look her up. Now, everything okay? Yep, okay, let's go. Because we're very busy. So when she got to the car the last time, I noticed that her eyebrows were a little bushy. Which is fine with me. I don't care. They can be bushy or thin. You know, some women like the, you know, am I right or am I wrong, you all? Didn't thin eyebrows used to be the thing, like pencil thin? They go up like, you know, some women have them. You can't tell if their eyebrows or if they line, just put a mark on them. That's how they used to be, but now they're a little thicker, right? I don't know, but I noticed a change in style, right? So last time she came to the car, they were a little thicker. And I said, did you get them done? She said, yeah, I got them done. Of course I got them done. Did you see them? I said, well, yeah, they're pretty. Go. They're pretty, beautiful, beautiful, yes, yes. So this time she went in, and she didn't like them. She said she didn't like them the last time. So she went in this time, and she asked the lady, this time can you take a little more off? You know, they were a little thicker last time. And the lady went off. Pastor Annalisa said, the lady said, what do you mean? What do you mean? You mean tell me you think I do a good job one day, and if that don't do a good job, I do the same thing all the time. And the lady started reading her the riot act. Now, you know, Pastor Annalisa's in the chair already, getting ready to get the eyebrows done. I don't know how that works. I know when men get their hair cut, by the time they wrap you up and you got a covering over you, you're not in a position to fight anybody. So I don't know how it is with y'all eyebrows, because I don't hang around in nail shops. I can't stand the smell. But she was sitting there, and she said, as the lady, I said, why didn't you get up and leave? She said, well, I just didn't. And she said, but when she, she said, as she's turning my face, she's saying, I don't do eyebrows like that. And she's switching. And I can see little Pastor Annalisa poor thing. I don't do eyebrows like that. The nerve of you telling me. And she's, that puts a whole different spin on turn of the cheek. That's the way I saw that. But anyway, I said, what did you do? Now, this is why I always said, thank God for God. Thank God that she's saved. But thank God that I'm saved. Because I've never put my hands on a woman. But I could raise the roof and give that lady gray hair See, I could do that because that's how I used to be. I protect my people with my life. I've been with this lady 14 years. She never harmed a soul. But she had to sit through that. And you know what she did? She sat through it. And you know what she did? She tipped the lady. You see, I learned from my wife, you all. The Lord put us together for more than one reason. Because I don't know if I were in the same situation. I pray that I could do that too. But you never really know till you're in the midst of it. You see what happened to me in college. That shouldn't happen today. But I'm telling you that you won't know if you don't practice this thing. And she's been practicing this thing since the Lord. So I humble myself. And I love her so much because she's a special little bird, I'm telling you.
Well, you know, when you're witnessing to someone and in the time I have been witnessing, every time I go in, I tell the Lord, I tell the lady about the love of Jesus. So for me to just, I know it was a test for me. It was a test. So I had to just, I felt, the flesh felt like doing something, but the flesh was weak, but the spirit was willing to endure and to pray for her and say, I'm going to pray for you at a distance. I won't be back, but I will be praying for you at a distance.
And she was angry but the Bible says, be angry, just don't sin. Ephesians 4:26. And she didn't. What Annalisa told me, what I remember her saying, was that this woman had a spirit on her. She didn't even take it personal that it was a lady. She said this woman was attacked by spirits. She had an evil spirit, and the devil was angry at me. So he came at me through her that way. Man, that's what I'm talking about being a grown up. That's what I'm talking about growing up in the Word. You see what I mean? I have to say that. Because it was okay. And then I felt the Lord focus on me as I was driving. Because my level is still going up. The water's bubbling. I'm at yellow alert. I don't know if I should turn around. I don't know if I should go in there and give her a piece of my mind. But it wouldn't let me because of what she was saying. She just kept on. The Lord just kept speaking through Annalisa. See, that's the way demons are. See, they come at you through people. The devil didn't like it because we're doing this. You know you're a minister. You know we're ministering God's word. You know we're following God in everything, Joel. And I was okay. The water started to go down. But then she said, that's why I tipped her. I said, tipped her. You tipped her. And the water started going back up. It started bubbling again.
We fight not with flesh and blood.
Yeah, she said that too. We fight not with flesh and blood. I had to gather myself. I said, praise God. Praise God. Because I was thinking, I could see. And when she said, tipped her, I said, oh, I know another kind of tipped. I said, but you hear it on breaking news. Nail shop owner was found tipped upside down in her chair. In a swivel chair upside down with no eyebrows, details at 10. That's the kind of tip that I was. You next time you feel like mess with somebody's eyebrows, by the way, I'm gonna trim yours. Zoop. No charge. But but for the love of God, you see? So unnatural love, that type of love, you have to put into your category. What trips your trigger? What pushes your buttons? Because the Lord might allow it to happen. That probably won't happen because now you all going to learn how to do your own eyebrows, or you're going to ask Annalisa which place she went to and you won't go there. But but it'll be something. It'll be something else is what I'm saying. Just like with me, it's something. It's always something coming. And that's why we need to practice this thing before it gets there. If I had known the Lord in college, that never would have happened. It couldn't have happened. And we'll learn about why it can't happen. But let's go there. Let's go to, we won't. I was going to read that one again. But let's move on. Let's move on. No, we'll skip over five. But we know that it says the word says that thinks no evil. We don't respond evil with evil. Did I give you 1 John 4:7-8? Let's go there. We're more apt to align ourselves with love by merging with love and taking on the characteristics of love, because that's God's love. So if we go to 1 John 4:7-8, if you could read those for us, Pastor.
1 John 4:7 mm-hmm. and 8 mm-hmm. says, Beloved, let us love one another. Mm-hmm. For love is of God. Mm-hmm. And everyone who loves is born of God mm-hmm. and knows God. Mm-hmm. He who does not love does not know God. Mm-hmm. For God is love.
That's powerful, you all. It says, Beloved, let us love one another, for love is of God. And everyone who loves is born of God and knows God. That's a test. That's a test. If you love, you're born of God. If you don't love, that means that we don't know who you're following. You're not following God. He who does not love does not know God, because God is love. We have a lot of Christians who say they love the Lord, but they don't even like people who are have other skin complexions. Racism is alive and well in the church. Better believe it is. It's in associations, it's in clergies or whatever you want to call it. It's there. It's in theology schools. It's embedded so deep, and people are going thinking that I'm all right with God and I got a place, a spot in heaven, I got all kinds of rewards coming, and you don't even love, don't know how to love. This is very important. This scripture tells it right here. It said, he who does not love does not know God, for God is love. We got a brother in here right now who ran into a situation outside. A man accosted him in the parking lot. Now, if y'all know this, y'all know the man I'm talking about at this congregation. He can break a man in half easy. And somebody disrespected him in that parking lot. You know what he did? No, he didn't tell me what hospital he put him in. He didn't put him in the hospital. He came to me very quietly after that and told me what happened. That's what I'm talking about. That's growth. That's growth. Yeah, that's growth. And that's the word of God. So you know he belongs to the Lord, because he could have responded any kind of way he wanted, but he did not. You see? So, yeah, amen, amen. And the devil knew. Oh, let's just say it. Look at Sean. Now look, who going to come and mess with him? Unless it's the devil. If somebody say anything wrong, you know the devil's in them. They're trying to get that poor man killed that said something to this man. But he was just as calm as he is now, you see? And that's because of the love of God. That's the connection that we have between God and love. God and love are connected. I'm talking about unconditional love, because the Bible says clearly that God is love. Therefore, if we profess to be of God, we must be of love. If we're of God, we have to be of love. If we say we're about our Father's business, as Jesus says in Luke 2:49, we've got to be about the business of loving like Jesus loved. See, if we say we're of Jesus, if we say we're of God, we've got to be loving like God. But how? How when we who are not, we're in the world but not of the world, as it explains in 1 John 17, when we know that we're all sinners saved by grace, as it says in Ephesians 2:8, that we're sinners saved by grace, and all of us have sinned and fall short of the glory of God, which it says in Romans 3:23, then how, with all this sin on us, in other words, how do we run through a rainstorm of sin and come out loving? How do we try to dodge the raindrops of sin and come out and not be wet with sin? can only do it through Christ Jesus. Amen. If we can only, our covering, our umbrella is Jesus Christ. He is the one that'll get us through the raindrops of sin. He is the one that'll get us through all the despair and all the mistreatment. We've got a covering. We've got a shield. The Bible says in Psalms 91, he who dwells in the secret place of the Most High shall abide under the shadow of the Almighty. So we're under his shadow, under his protective umbrella. Sean was under his protective umbrella when the devil tried to rain down on him, you know. Annalisa, when she was sitting in that chair, the Lord came with a protective umbrella that shielded her. Oh, I needed that umbrella when I was in college. I needed that umbrella. I needed it a few times. But I didn't know him at that time. You see? So now I see, and in retrospect, I look back into all the things that went on in my life and the violence. I thank the Lord. I thank him now. So he protects us to not get any of that stuff on us. In other words, you see, because we serve the Almighty God, that little G God that's controlling the air and the atmosphere, he can only do so much. You know, the real God, the one true God, the God of Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob, he trumps everything, including the devil. Okay, so that's what we have to know. So let's go to one of our biblical mainstays, because if we're thinking about how can we love when we've got a lying, treacherous, murdering imitation father who is in the world, the devil, who only wants us to perish, how do we change? Well, let's look at 2 Corinthians 5:17. Pastor, take us there and just read that for us, please.
2 Corinthians 5:17 tells us, therefore, if anyone is in Christ, he is a new creation. Old things have passed away. Behold, all things have become new.
Amen. Thank you, Pastor. New creations. Old things must pass away. And do you know that also means that our old worldly type of love has to pass away? Okay? That's right. That old deceiving spirit, or those old deceiving spirits which may have been fooling us into thinking that we were truly loving righteously, must now vacate the premises because the Holy Spirit has moved in and taken over that holy house of yours. The Holy Spirit has moved in and situated himself inside of us. So now that he can start cleaning house and he can start teaching us how to love unconditionally. That's what 2 Corinthians 5:17 is talking about. Let's look at John 14, verses 15 to 17. John 14, verses 15 to 17. You had that one, Pastor? I didn't give you that one. Okay. John 14, did I say? Yeah, verses 15 to 17.
14, John 14:15-17 says,
Watch this.
If you love me, keep my commandments, and I will pray the Father, and he will give you another helper, that he may abide with you forever.
Right.
The Spirit of truth, who the world cannot receive because it neither sees him nor knows him, but you know him, for he dwells with you and will be with you.
All right.
And will be in you.
And will be in you. He dwells with you and will be in you. Okay? Thank you, Pastor. So that's what it is. Now, as most of you know, it's the Holy Spirit who supplies us with the power. He supplies us with the dunamis power, okay, to put down the things of the world and pick up the things of God. Okay, this includes putting down that old conditional love and picking up God's unconditional love. So you can love your spouse regardless of how badly things go. They can lose a job, you still love them. They don't treat you right sometimes, but you still love them. They can get sick and you still love them. They can you even love their family. You learn to love your in-laws, even though they act like outlaws, but you still love them because you have God's unconditional love in you, right? That's exactly what it is. The Holy Spirit puts that in us, just like it says in Romans 12:2. Be not conformed to this world, but be transformed by the renewing of your mind, that you may prove what is that good and acceptable and perfect will of God. That's what the Holy Spirit does. So we can be transformed into from loving with conditions to loving unconditionally. I look around here and I see some folks, boy, I see some loving people up in here. I see some people that have been through some stuff. Got three right here on this side that's been three right away that I know that's been through some stuff, not just for weeks, years. Over here, people that had to go out and practically fight a whole neighborhood spiritually. Does Sister Lizette look like that? She don't look like she'd fight anybody. Spiritually, let me tell you, that's a warrior spiritually right there. I have to say it because when I see God's people and what they're going through, like Sister Jeanette and Sister Patricia and Terry, all of you going through these things, fighting. Come on now. Warriors. And the Lord has put the Holy Spirit in you all to do these things. He gives us that. These things that are what's perfect and acceptable to God. God is love, which the Bible tells us in 1 John 4:8, God is love. That we can conclude that loving unconditionally is his perfect will for us. That's God's perfect will. Watch this. Let's go to John the 13th chapter, and let's go to verses 33 to 35 this time. There's so much meat in here. I can't cover it all in one hour, but let's go to John 13.
33 to 35 says, little children, I shall be with you a little while longer.
This is Jesus talking.
To his disciples, you will see me. And as I said to the Jews, where I am going, you cannot come. So now I say to you, a new commandment I give to you, that you love one another as I have loved you, and that you also love one another. Mm-hmm. By this all will know that you are my disciples, and if you have love for one another.
All right. Little children, I will be with you a little while longer. You will seek me. And as I said to the Jews, where I'm going, you cannot come. So now I say to you, a new commandment I give to you, that you love one another as I have loved you, that you also love one another. And by this, all will know that you are my disciples if you have love for one another. Now, Jesus was getting ready to be crucified, right? This was the time of Judas and what Judas was acting up and everything else. Yet he was giving them sort of like the final rites. You can't go where I'm going. I'm leaving this with you. The most important thing is to love. If you want to be my disciples, you've got to love. And I'm talking about loving like I love. That's what he's saying. So where does that lead us today? Okay. If he was saying it for disciples, we consider ourselves to be disciples of the Most High. We're disciples of Jesus Christ. So the importance of that command, it falls on each one of us now. Each one of us in this church, each one of us in our households, each one of us in the churches throughout the nation. If we call ourselves Christians, Christ followers, we have to have agape love the same as God has for us. Amen. We've got to do that. That command, of course, is pertinent to each and every saved, born-again believer in Christ Jesus. We ought to be the embodiments of that same love. Again, the world tells us that we can learn much about a person by checking out the fruit, right? The word tells us that. The world doesn't. The word tells us that we can learn a lot about a person by checking out the fruits that come from them, right? We ought to see fruits of that if we love God the way we say we do. Because we can all say we love each other. We can come in here and have an old hallelujah good time every morning. Come out of here and curse everybody out. I've seen that. We left church a couple of weeks ago, and we talked about being patient, and the Lord was just feeding us patience. And I was standing in line at Safeway as soon as we left here. Very well-dressed woman behind me. She was very well-dressed. She had church written all over. She was standing in line, and the line was long. And it was all kinds of people in line. Some people didn't give you the impression that they had been to church. You know, they were in jeans and shorts, and some of them had beer, and they just waiting, and the line was long. And I was standing in line. And who should speak out and start complaining? Miss Well-Dressed. Miss Christian. Miss Christian said, I can't even do my hips like y'all do them. She had something on her hip. And she had a little basket. She had something else in his arm. I can't put my hips like that. But she was sitting it on her hip, and she said, ooh. That's how I met her. I heard somebody say, ooh, these people make me sick. They are so stupid. So I just turned slowly and I said, huh? Hi. And she said, hey. She said, I'm sorry. They make me sick. Every time I come in here, this place, they doing something stupid up in here. And she said, I just came from church. I wanted to say, I almost covered her mouth. Quiet, sister. You're about to get us all in trouble. You're about to blow everybody's testimony. Your church, my church, every church. I said, yeah. I said, it's kind of crowded. Crowded? It's like this all the time. She just kept talking. I gave her my place in line. When I got to the front, she was still complaining. I took her bags. I held her bags for her. You don't have to do that. It's old, but I must. And when it was time, we were in the self-checkout area. So when we got there, I said, come on. She said, no, I can't. I said, come on. She said, okay. So that settled it. But we ought to exhibit Christ, right? We ought to have the love, the long-suffering, the patience. Love suffers long and is kind. Pray for that store. Pray for the workers. Pray that they'll stop firing people and start hiring people. Okay? Ask the Lord to put his mighty hand on that place instead of sitting there coming out of church and forgetting everything we learned in church. Amen? It takes love. All right? I'm going to close. And I just want to say that in closing, we look at John 3:16. And it reminds us of what the Bible is really about. For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son. I don't even have to recite the rest. Now, if he gave his only begotten Son, our Savior, Jesus Christ, he gave him to us. He had him crucified because of his unconditional love for us that we be saved, right? So if Jesus did that, if he gave his Son for us, it seems a small thing for us to receive in our spirits the Lord God to do our part, to say, thank you, Lord, and return the favor, right? In just a small way by giving back that same love unconditionally to others. Amen? If we can try to do that, then we've met that responsibility of loving unconditionally and supernaturally through Jesus Christ, because that's really what it entails. Amen? Amen. We'll close now. And for those of you who are watching and you may not know the Lord, where is the love? What kind of love is in you? Are you? Have you experienced God's unconditional love? Do you even know about it? We can go through our whole lives, yet we will never truly see true love until we get to know the true God. You need to know Jesus if you want to know about unconditional love, both receiving and giving. Somebody you know, maybe your spouse, maybe both of you, need to know what unconditional love is all about. Because we can't get far with regular natural love. See, you've got supernatural demons working against you. You need a supernatural God to help you through. Amen. And only he can give us that supernatural love. So if you don't know Jesus, all it takes is to ask him to come into your life. Come into your life and be your Savior. And he will. And he'll hone you and shape you and teach you. And he'll fortify you so that you can love like God loved. Because the Bible says, anybody who doesn't know love doesn't know God. And I'm sure, whether you know it now or not, you need to know the Lord. So, as I always say, you don't have to believe what I'm saying, but let it minister in your heart and then check it out and see if it's not true. Read the word. Ask the Lord to come into your life. I'll take you through a salvation prayer right now. If you pray with me, the Bible says if you confess with your mouth the Lord God and believe in your heart that God raised him, then you'll be saved. And we're talking about Jesus Christ. I'll pray a prayer over you right now, wherever you are. If you believe this in your heart, and just ask the Lord, Lord, if this is true, show yourself to me. Just pray this prayer with me and watch what God will do in your life. Say, Lord, I'm a sinner. I said, but I repent my sins to you right now. I ask you for forgiveness. I believe that you died for me and that you were raised from the dead. God raised you. And I'm asking you to come into my life now and be my Savior. Teach me, Lord. Teach me to love so that I may love others and know you. If you do, I'll follow you all the days of my life with your help. If you prayed that prayer or come close to it, congratulations. You are now a child of God. In Jesus' name, amen. All you have to do is get yourself a Holy Bible, which is the true word of God. Ask the Lord to send you to a church that's preaching the true word and watch what God will do in your life. He's going to give you the strength to persevere through all kinds of mistreatment, all kinds of unfairness. And guess what? You won't have to be stressed. You won't have to go through the things that I went through as a young man and even as an older man until the Lord came to me. I had to fight. But now I let the Lord do my fighting for me. And you can do the same thing. I'm too busy learning to love than to fight. And the Lord will do the same thing for you. So ask him, and he'll guide you from there. We are Spirit of True Church worldwide, and you're welcome to come here to worship. You're welcome to visit us, or you're welcome to even become members. We don't solicit it, but we ask the Holy Spirit to send you to the church of his choosing, not our choosing. But you're certainly welcome here. We accept anyone who wants to come and learn the true word of God. Those of you who are in between churches, as you're seeking a church, we will provide a covering over you if you would like. We'll pray for you. We'll hold you up in prayer and make sure you have a covering and guidance over your life through the Holy Spirit. So with that, we're going to pray. If those who are here now who need prayer, I would ask you to wait until after service, and then we can pray for you if you have specific prayer or unspecified.